And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
What's good, everybody? Thursday morning, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Pete and Nick back with you after some crazy game fours and fives the past couple of nights. Nick, excruciating defeat in that fashion, especially for the Colorado Avalanche, man. What's going on?
Not too much. Been looking forward to the eulogy of the Florida Panthers on this podcast, but we'll do that later on. Yeah, that was a crazy game last night. So excited, so happy to bring in from PicksWise and Bally Sports South. It's none other than Lauren Jabara, who covered the Colorado Avalanche for a couple of years. What's going on, Lauren?
Guys, thanks so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here, talk hockey. Such a brutal loss last night for my Colorado Avalanche, but you know what? It's okay. Nathan MacKinnon, Gabe Landeskog both seemed calm, cool, collected after the game. I mean, Nate couldn't really have done more, right? At that point, it's like you got to just kind of tip your hats to the St. Louis Blues and what they were able to do with 58 seconds left in the game and then in overtime. But they're coming back stronger, guys. They're coming back stronger in St. Louis. I have a good feeling about it.
It's amazing, right? When he scores that goal, which I think is the goal of the year, we could all agree on that. Everybody starts thinking, oh, maybe we're going to see a little McDavid versus MacKinnon action in the next round. Not so fast, right? Robert Thomas comes up big for the St. Louis Blues. That's one guy that we were hyping up all season long, but was very quiet all postseason up until now. Huge performance, which, right, begs the question, can the St. Louis Blues with their championship pedigree pull off this, you know, comeback in the series with everything that's riding on the Avalanche betting wise? So many people have their money on them. I mean, this is a crazy storyline. And I think the Avs, even if they're saying it's an opportunity, Lauren, like in game six, right, they're shaking in their boots a little bit right now.
I don't know if they are shaking in their boots, though. I mean, it's tough because I'm not like right up and with it again this year like I was the last three seasons. But knowing the confidence that this team has and the confidence that they have in each other, it really is one of the most incredible teams I've worked with, just because of the fact that like there aren't cliques. Like everyone is supportive of everybody else. What I want to see is Darcy Kemper saving a couple of those shots. I mean, that game tying goal, that was a great goal. He couldn't really do anything about it. He was like out of his crease a little bit, but that overtime goal, I really wanted to see him save that. Maybe he's shaking in his boots a little bit. This is one of those things where like the Avs literally cannot lose for the fourth straight year in the second round in six games or seven games, whatever it may be. I think that they're going to come out hungry like we saw in the first period. I think they're going to get things done. Basically, I don't know what happened with the Avs, but they were maybe sitting back a little bit and getting a little comfortable with their 3-0 lead that they had. They're like, okay, finally, we're going to make it to the conference finals. This is the year. And they kind of let up on the gas a little bit. And you can't do that. This is postseason. This is the postseason hockey. And I think that they're going to know that mentally now heading into game six, what they need to be able to do to get things done.
Yeah, personally, I think they're allergic to the third round. It's much similar to the Leafs. They're allergic to the second round. I'm kidding. Like I think there's a different feel to this Colorado team, but like, you know, describe the array of emotions watching that game. But for me, it was like watching, you know, another season of Selling Sunset. Like I just didn't know what to expect, you know?
So do you want to know why else? I was really sad and like felt like I got sucker punched right in the face. It's because I had a futures bet on the Avs to win the series 4-1 and for the series to go five games. And I had those both at like plus 275.
Wow.
And I saw it and I was holding the money in my hand and it literally was snatched. I felt like I was a baby getting candy taken from me. I'm like, oh my God, how did that just happen? So I think that they obviously still have a really, really great chance to move on to the next round. And I do think that it's going to be the Oilers and the Avs for the Western Conference Finals going into the finals, which I think it's going to be the Avs and the Tampa Bay Lightning. We'll see how things play out, but that's just how I have my script written up at this point, which is going to be really exciting, hopefully, to see MacKinnon going up against McDavid for a seven-game series, just to see how that plays out. But oh man, that was a tough one. Like 58 seconds left. I'm like counting my money at that point. And I'm like, what just happened? And also being on Eastern time, you guys, I'm like, I can't stay up this late anymore. I'm not on mountain time anymore. I'm like, oh my God, I need to go to bed. This is getting late.
I hear you on that for sure. I mean, I think like you were saying they can't do this. I mean, they lost four in a row to Vegas last year. So it really brings back bad memories for anybody that's picked them in the past, including myself. So, but one thing I would say, I think that if they do end up squeaking by in this series and they play a team like Tampa in the final, going through this adversity will help them. It will be better that they went through this now, if it ends up coming to that, and then they face more against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is not going to give you any easy roads at all. So, you know, again, not to look too far ahead, but that's the matchup that a lot of people are envisioning for the final. And I think they'll be in better shape if they get through this adversity right now.
Totally. And I don't know if you guys agree with me on this too. It's not necessarily excuses, but you look at the last three seasons for the Avs. The first, what was it, three seasons ago? So back in 2019 against San Jose, there was that weird off, like the Avs scored, then they called back the goal because the weird Gabe Landeskog offsides. And then the second year, you see them lose in 2020 in the bubble because they lost both of their starting goaltenders. They were playing a third string goalie in Mike Hutchinson. And then last year, Nazem Kadri was suspended for his hit in the Blues series, and he's suspended for 8 games. And that's what killed the Avs in that round against Vegas, is because their second line couldn't keep, like, the Avs second line without Nazem Kadri couldn't keep up with Vegas' second line. And that's how they got beat. So I feel like this year, despite the Sammy Girard injury, basically the Avs are fully healthy. There's no excuses this year why they cannot make it past this round.
Yeah, another guy I was really impressed with the last couple of games is Bowen Byram, really has stepped up in the absence of Samuel Girard. So we referenced, you covered this team. Do you got any good stories, some greasy details behind the scenes? Like, what was it like to cover like these guys on a daily basis? Because there is greatness inside that locker room.
Oh my gosh, there's so much greatness inside that locker room. There's so many different stories that I can tell. One of them, Cale Makar, is amazing of a player as he is off the ice. Or on the ice, he is maybe one of the nicest human beings I've ever met off the ice. Like in his interviews, when you're like, wow, he's so like poised, well put together. That's not just a show. Like that is Cale, and that is because of his family. Like he has, the Makar family is just awesome. His brother and Taylor and his dad and mom and Gary and Laura, like they're just an incredible family. And so they did a really good job raising Cale. He's just the best dude. Nathan MacKinnon eats so clean out of anybody, like no cheese, no dairy, no gluten, so much so that like on the team plane, all of the meals, like don't have dairy, don't have gluten. Like he really pushes everyone else in their locker room to fuel their bodies with the right sort of foods. And that's really interesting. And he's actually like said that that's been a big turnaround for his game over the last few years, is fueling his body the right way. And that's why he's seen such a growth in his game, which also it has to do with the work off the ice too, or on the ice too. But it is amazing, like what the work off the ice will do. In terms of fun stories, one of the most fun players that I worked with was Nikita Zadorov. He was hilarious all the time. Like anytime I'd be doing an interview in the locker room, there was always like tape flying. And I'm like, where is this tape coming from? And you look over his Z and he's like you just like knew it was like coming from him every single time. But there's so many stories, I just can't even think about them all off the top of my head right now. Just so many fun times in that Colorado Avalanche locker room, traveling with that team, just watching them play. And I honestly think one of my favorite things is just watching the maturity of Cale Makar in his game every single game over the last 3.5 years. And granted, like I've watched a lot of games this season, but watching it up close and personal every single game, every single practice, I'm telling you guys, it's something special.
Yeah, I mean, MacKinnon is a great leader. We saw it last year, even when the team, you know, was blowing that series, he was still giving 110%. You really saw it in terms of being one of the best players in the league, making not only not being the captain behind Landeskog, but also making less money. Then, you know, these are things on other teams that would become an issue, but obviously Nate MacKinnon doing his business at the highest level in the postseason all the time. In the loss yesterday, 4 points, including a hat trick. So, you know, I don't think that he would let this happen. He'll do everything in his power to make sure they don't collapse for the second straight year. But we were mentioning, Lauren, Edmonton and Calgary, and that series has kind of gone off the rails for the Calgary Flames, right? I mean, we were saying in the previous show that Edmonton was in the driver's seat. They had a great chance to actually win the series, but for them to potentially finish the Flames in five is honestly mind-boggling. What have you seen in the Flames, and do you think they could bounce back here in game five?
Yeah, so that's actually one of my best bets for today is the Flames three-way money line at plus 100. So you're going to get an even money. But here's the thing. The Oilers have been so good because of one guy and one guy only. I don't even need to say his name, but Connor
Zach Hyman.
Exactly.
Leon Draisaitl.
He stole the words right out of my mouth.
Knew it.
What we've seen from Connor McDavid, we have not seen in 40 years since one man himself, Wayne Gretzky, the man, the myth, the legend. It is incredible what he is doing. He has 11 points in four games against Calgary. He has 25 points in 11 postseason games so far. He's averaging 2.27 points per game. That is wild to me. And honestly, Mike Smith at 40 years old, like, if I can move like that at 40 years old, like, come on, give me a contract too. You know what I mean? Like, he's been playing incredibly. 10.1 goals saved above expected. He has a 93.1 save percentage at this point. Markstrom, for me, has been the letdown of this series. He hasn't been playing up to the caliber that we saw in the regular season. Here's the thing that gives me hope is he's 22-8-7 at the Saddle Dome this year with a 2.17 goals against average. So if he can turn it around for game five, I think that Calgary can sneak by one more win. I think the Oilers are going to be taking this series in six games. You cannot defend a guy like Connor McDavid. And like, if you're playing like Connor McDavid is, you're not going to lose a series. But I think that being at home, if Markstrom can play to the caliber that we've seen during the regular season, that Calgary can maybe sneak this game. I think that the Flames are due. But here's the thing. Is Calgary, like, you look at the metrics for this series, and honestly, Calgary's dominating in every single metric except for the most important one. 11 goals for, 15 goals against. You got to score more goals to be able to win games. But I think that they'll be able to sneak a win out here. I think it's going to be a close game. I don't know how I feel about the total over-under, but we saw similar – say this five times fast. We saw similar struggles in Shesterkin last round.
Wow.
We saw him turn it around this round. Why can't Markstrom do the same thing in game five in front of a home crowd? I think he will be able to.
Yeah, the goaltending has been fascinating in that series, I would say. Jacob Markstrom's good unless the shot's coming from far range. You know, ditto for obviously Mike Smith and Rasmus Anderson scoring from like 132 feet. I've really, you know, enjoyed diving into the prop market in that series. Connor McDavid over a point and a half, over, you know, an assist and a half, shots on goal. Do you dive into the prop market at all?
I do dive into the prop market. I'm love betting it. Like, God, I'm being degenerate when it comes to NHL postseason, but it's just been so much fun to watch. These games are so exciting, especially this series, like that first game when 15 goals were scored. But I do like the prop market. I don't actually have any prop bets on the game tonight, but anything over with Connor McDavid seems like smart. A safe bet at this point.
Smart.
Smart plays right now. Evander Kane, anytime goal. He's got better than a goal per game this postseason with 12 and 11 games. And then Leon Draisaitl. We're talking up McDavid. I mentioned Draisaitl earlier. Draisaitl has more points than McDavid in this series, if you could believe it. And he's had, what, four straight three-point games or something crazy like that? So, Conn Smythe, you think at the surface, right, if the Edmonton Oilers win the cup, it's like Connor McDavid's going to win the Conn Smythe.
Yes.
And you could say the same thing for the Rangers with Shesterkin, but there are some other guys hanging around out there, like those two guys we were just mentioned, standouts on the Edmonton Oilers. And for the Rangers, they have other elite players. Who are you looking at in your Conn Smythe plays, Lauren, like in terms of just looking at the remaining teams and trying to narrow it down a little bit?
Yeah, so with the Colorado Avalanche, obviously Nathan MacKinnon, I have him up there. And surprisingly, Nazem Kadri, like, he's had a phenomenal series and a really good postseason so far. And everything that he's been battling through in terms of off the ice and everyone, like, doing the stand with Nazem Kadri thing. Like, it's amazing that he's able to keep his poise, keep his focus, and focus on the task at hand in terms of playing the hockey game that he did. And we saw him have a goal last night out of the four goals that the Avs did score. So he could also be a good outside pick, but Connor McDavid, obviously, is solidly up there at this point in terms of they win. Vasilevsky with the Tampa Bay Lightning. I'm trying to think who else. Igor Shesterkin. Like, there's so many great players, and it's so hard to narrow down at this point. And I know that you get better odds narrowing down at this point, but it's like, I really, at this point, don't know who is going to be in the NHL, like in the Stanley Cup final. Like, I truly do not know. And it's going to be so interesting to see how things play out over the next 5-6 days in terms of ending this series and seeing how the first one or two games of the Eastern and Western Conference Finals begin.
So, Lauren, I got a big question for you.
If we spoke in a week,
will Carolina have won a road game?
I think that it's going to be the Rangers tonight that win the road game, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I know. And here's the thing. It's like, I was talking to my dad about this because my dad is really big on like betting. And we talk a lot about, you know, our views and whatever. And I know Carolina is 6-0 straight up at home. They won 8 straight games dating back to the regular season. So probably should pick them again to win the game tonight, right? Wrong. I don't like them to win the game tonight. I think that this trend is going to change. And here's the thing. It's like, you look at the Rangers and the production that they're getting from guys that are not Artemi Panarin, like Andrew Kopp, 10 points, 5 goals throughout postseason play. Adam Fox is 4-9-13 during the postseason. The Rangers have 14 different players that have scored in the postseason, which leads all NHL teams right now. And I know Antti Raanta has been phenomenal during the postseason. What, he's at a 93.1 save percentage, 2.09 goals against average. But at home, he's been so good. I think that they're going to figure out a way to get pucks past him tonight. At home, he has a 96.8 save percentage, 0.96 goals against average in the postseason so far, which is really good. The issue that I have with the Canes is, again, the same thing like I said about the Flames. You have to score to win games. The Canes are 0-12 on the power play going back to game 7 against Boston. I think at some point that's going to come back to bite them in the butt. And they've only scored 1.5 goals per game against Igor Shesterkin in the postseason. Their defense is still solid. They're only allowing 1.75 goals per game against the Rangers if you take out the empty netters. But I think this is the point where Shesterkin's going to step up. He's going to play lights out. And it's hard for me to bet against a guy like Igor Shesterkin when he is playing the way that he is. I was betting against him in the Penn series because he was playing at more of a human level. Now he's playing at more of a subhuman, lesser more.
I mean, it works.
Yeah. Superhuman
superhuman
level.
Superhuman, yes.
But I'm expecting a tight checking, low scoring game. I also like the under 5.5. The under's hit in all four of the games so far this series. So I feel good about the under. And I honestly think the Rangers are going to break the trend in this game. Wow. Carolina is going to go down 3-2 in the series. The Rangers take it back to MSG and they're going to win in 6. This is
what
how I'm
a story.
Right, baby. Let's go. Oh,
okay.
Pretty safe to say, I think, that one of those two trends are going to come to an end. Either like the Rangers will lose game 6 at home to close out the series and they'll break their home winning streak, or the Canes, who have been playing with fire, especially games 1 and 2, were really close. Mm-hmm. And Shesterkin, yeah, like you mentioned, has like a 950 save percentage at even strength in the series. We all know Carolina's a dominant possession team, but the one best way for the Rangers to crack that code is if Shesterkin plays out of his mind. So yeah, it's going to be really fun to watch game 5. And then one other guy I wanted to throw out there for Conn Smythe, favorites in my book, is the guy that maybe Shesterkin would play if they advance, Vasilevsky, right? Like, to me, like when I look at McDavid, it's kind of like Carey Price last year. Oh, if he gets them to the final and they win, but I don't think Edmonton's going to win the cup ultimately. So that's like the only problem. Like, you might very well be, you know, holding that bet if they do somehow get there. But in terms of like, if they were to play the Lightning, I don't think so. So I actually think like Vasilevsky has a great chance to defend his Conn Smythe trophy from last year. Who are you looking at the Lightning, considering they're the only teams that have advanced? Is there anything that you're excited about betting wise for Tampa Bay besides, you know, the three-peat?
Yeah, I honestly, like, Vasilevsky is just so incredibly fun to watch. And the thing that the Florida Panthers couldn't figure out against him is if that guy can see the puck, he's going to save the puck. You need to get guys in front of him, take away his eyes. And the Florida Panthers were not able to do that. The Leafs were able to do that for a few games in that series. And that's why they found a little bit of success. This is why the Florida Panthers were swept, is he was seeing everything out there, like truly everything. And like, honestly, this rest that they're getting is going to be extremely helpful to them, especially going into the next round. If it is against a guy like Igor Shesterkin, who's playing. I know there's like that saying rest versus rust, but at this point of the season, in the postseason, where everyone's playing a little bit banged up, everyone's playing, you know, with little nicks and bruises everywhere. And especially the way that postseason hockey goes, which is how intense and physical that it is. any of that rest is going to help them. And so they're going to come in with fresher legs, a fresher mindset, probably more sleep too, after traveling and all of that stuff, going up against either a Canes or a Rangers team that's coming off of what I'm thinking is at least a six, maybe even a 7-game series, depending on how these next few games go. But Vasilevskiy is definitely a guy that I'm looking at for the Conn Smythe.
I would call him superhuman.
Not subhuman, definitely. Superhuman.
Yeah, we'll call him subhuman. I teased the eulogy of the Florida Panthers. The puck line Panthers are dead. Finito. What was your assessment? How shocked were you with that sweep? And I guess we shouldn't be shocked by anything we see from Tampa, but for a team that had aspirations of winning the Stanley Cup, you talk about allergies again. This team's allergic to winning in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah. Honestly, and you look at it last year too, that the games against Tampa Bay, between the Florida Panthers and Tampa Bay, that was like absolute fire hockey. And I think we saw that again. And truly, I know they got swept. I don't think that series was as lopsided as it looked if you just look at it on paper. They still played pretty well. But what it came down to, in my opinion, is what team had the better goaltender. Vasilevskiy was better than Bobrovsky, right? The fact that the Panthers could not get their power play going, the man advantage is so important to take advantage of in the postseason. Every single one of those opportunities, they were what, 1 for 28 or something like that, like some crazy number. So when you're struggling like that, when you're like 5 on 5, I think the numbers were solid, but it's when you're on special teams, you have to be able to take advantage of that. And they weren't able to do that. And I think that would have been a difference too. But I think that series just came down to the fact that Vasilevskiy is a better goaltender than Bobrovsky is. And the best goaltenders make it all the way. And we've seen that time and time again, year after year in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
So Lauren, let us know a little bit about some of the stuff you're doing over at PicksWise, and great job covering the Atlanta Hawks this year as well.
Thank you.
Switching from hockey to the court. You did a great job, but let us know where people can find you for the show and some of your hockey picks that you do specifically.
Yeah. So I have a segment that I like to do called What the Puck, and I do it most days of the week. I tweet it out. I know, isn't that very fun and fun and like funky? Why
great
not?
Name.
So punny. Haha.
So funny. So you can find me on Twitter at Lauren Jabara, Instagram at Lauren Jabara. I post all of those things. We also have our PicksWise sports betting show every single day of the week, 10 a.m. Eastern time on PicksWise Twitter and YouTube pages. So you could tune into that. And Bally was fun. I definitely miss hockey though, so it is nice to get some hockey talk in with you guys and with the PicksWise show, give out some of my best hockey bets, and I definitely still stay really entwined in it. So hopefully we'll be talking about it a little bit more in the future, but yeah, that's where you can find me. And it's been a lot of fun getting into the sports gambling side of things, because that's where everything's going right now too. So it's exciting to be a part of that.
I do love my Trae Young conversation, but we'll save that. Biases aside, I know you're probably going to pick Colorado, but who's your Stanley Cup winner right now?
Colorado Avalanche, hands down. Yeah.
You already know.
This is your year, guys. There's no excuses. The depth that Joe Sakic has brought in with this team, the coaching, and Jared Bednar, who I think he's a really good coach. Darcy Kemper just needs to step it up a little bit, because a couple of those goals weren't necessarily the best goals that I've seen in Game 5. But I think that the Avs have this thing. It's going to be a tough series when and if they do make it against Tampa Bay Lightning. I think it's going to be a 7-game Stanley Cup final, but I think they're going to be able to pull it out this year. This is the year, guys.
Never heard that before.
Wait, did you say that about the Leafs this year or what?
Yes.
I know. Sorry to twist the knife a little bit, but
it's okay. No, appreciate you joining us today, and we're looking forward to having you on in the future.
Thank you guys so much. Thanks for having me on, and good luck with the rest of the season.
Great stuff from Lauren Jabara for sure. Follow her on Twitter. And I've been on her PicksWise show. They got great insight on all the different sports out there betting wise. So definitely check that out. I liked the angle that she brought up about Nazem Kadri, Conn Smythe. As good as McKinnon is, as good as Landeskog is, there's a storyline here with what Nazem Kadri has overcome in some of these games on and off the ice. And then, you know, with his hat trick in Game 4, he now has 8 points in 4 road playoff games. And last I checked, the Avs are still undefeated away from Ball Arena. So as much as we're hyping up the St. Louis Blues, right, Nick, like the Avs do have closeout ability, even if they're away from home.
Oh, 1,000%. I'm a little sour with Kadri. I had the Kadri assist prop and it didn't hit back in game five, I guess. Yeah, game five. So I'm a little sour on that front. But I mean, the depth pieces are there. And I think this is such a polarizing, integral moment for this organization. Haven't been to a conference final in 20 years. They need to close this out, because if this goes back to Ball Arena, I think they're in big time trouble, especially considering, Pete, we know the pedigree of the St. Louis Blues, a well-seasoned machine. And I just love the old Undertaker gif, right? They're never dead.
I feel like if it goes back to game seven, the Blues would score first. And then if they're not already panicking out of their minds, that would be the time for that. But yeah. And then one other note, you mentioned Zach Hyman earlier when we were talking about Oilers standouts. He's the only guy, I believe, in the whole second round that scored a goal in every game. He's got a goal in all four games so far. And as important as McDavid is to that team, their closeout ability is going to come from guys, you know, on the blue line that chip in, and guys like Nugent Hopkins and Zach Hyman playing together on the second line, right, Nick? I mean, the depth is the thing, and the roster flaws outside of McDavid and Drysdale are the things that have burned Edmonton time and time again. Mike Smith could burn them if he allows another goal like he did the other day.
What was that?
Yeah. Wrong time. I don't know. But anyway, I think it's a lot of the onus here falls on the secondary guys for the Oilers.
Yeah, I should add, like, kudos to Edmonton, because any team would have packed up after whatever that was for Mike Smith. But they came back. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins scores the winner. And as somebody, you know, who covered Zach Hyman for a couple of years in Toronto, he's your prototypical guy that you need, that glue guy, especially in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It brings a bit of sandpaper. That's why I think Evander Kane has fit really, really well as well. He's got the offensive finishing abilities, but I mean, he'll grind. And I think these two are perfect types of players. I know this series is nowhere far from over, but they're the type of players you need to play in a hostile battle of Alberta. And that's why I think Ken Holland deserves a lot of credit. I know obviously he took a little heat for the Hyman contract for bringing in Evander Kane, but that's been the bigger story for me. Everybody's making a lot of Connor McDavid. I get it as we speak. 25 points in 11 games. Drysdale's been great. But the complementary pieces have given, you know, and allotted some time and space for the bigger boys to do their thing. So I've really appreciated that as well, Pete.
And Hyman's another former Maple Leaf that is doing big things past the first round after he left the team. Not to harp on that too much, but sometimes it gets a little comical. And then for Carolina, I mean, and their chances the rest of the series, I think injury trends could be interesting. Thankfully, we haven't seen that many significant players injured this postseason. But maybe as the series goes deeper, we could see Freddie Anderson potentially. And maybe on the other side, we could say Barkley Goodrow, who could help the Rangers even up some of those possession metrics and things like that. So do you think either of those guys could come in and make a difference?
Oh, definitely, you know, good role. You know, I think it's a gutsy call right now, especially knowing we're going into game five. It's going to be Ranta. Let's say they lose, to come back with Freddie Anderson, who hasn't played in 2 months. Like, I wouldn't want to be Rod Brind'Amour and the coaching staff trying to make that decision. I get he's your number one, but Antti Raanta, to me, has not been the issue. This team can't score goals. So obviously some question marks following that, and we'll see if a road team can actually win in that series. Like, I've really, really enjoyed that series because it's been sort of a role reversal from everything else we've seen, Pete.
It's amazing that Freddie Anderson hasn't played since April 16th. Seems like so long ago, but
Pete, you know what's amazing?
What's that?
Waking up to a text from Davey Satriano about the NHL Stanley Cup. The guy's dominated, supposedly. I haven't seen the charts or anything, but this guy's killing it, man.
I know, he's watching all the playoff games out there. Then he's beating up on Stanley Cup pool, and, you know, then watching other things in his free time. He's a machine out there. I mean, he's
really amazing. Pumping up Satriano. And of course, if you're just tuning in, haven't heard what it is, it's pretty much the equivalent. The NHL is equivalent to Wordle. It's called NHL Stanley Cup. Of course, it's available online anywhere you get your sort of apps and stuff like that. But the destination to find it, stanleycouple.nhl.com, Peter. And the Stanley Couple is presented by Upper Deck. UpperDeckEPAC.com lets you buy, open, and collect your favorite hockey cards from anywhere at any time. Get a free pack just for logging on. Visit UpperDeckEPAC.com today. And I can't wait for my next text from Davey Satriano.
Good stuff, Nick. And just to remind people, I know we were talking about with Lauren, who her Stanley Cup pick was, like, Nick was on the Avalanche beating the Hurricanes in the final from the beginning of the year. And I was on the Avalanche beating Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. And you could say those were not crazy bold picks. Maybe Carolina was, but, you know, I think it's pretty it's pretty surprising that Tampa Bay got through Florida in that caliber of a team with the rivalry series in the fashion that they did without Braden Point. So, and now they're going to have some rest. Maybe they'll have Braden Point. So yeah, Tampa could really get back to the final here. It's pretty crazy. Anyway, good show, Lauren Jabara, Nick Galberga, Pete Jensen. We'll talk to you next week, hopefully for a third round preview. Looking forward to that. We'll see how many game sevens we get this time around. And we'll see you on the other side. Thanks for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice.